Okay, nice to see you everyone. Welcome. I'm Sian, and so today we are going to be continuing but completing also our series A Year to Grow. Now, going back some years ago when our daughter Naomi, who's now 15, was about 3 or 4, we used to have our car, which looked like a second home. It had books, DVDs, toys, wrappers and things like that, to kind of make our car journeys a little bit more, let's say, tolerable when you've got small children. And so we used to have toys and books and things like that. So one day we were going to an engagement party as a family, and we were heading down to Trostor Retail Park to pick up a gift on the way. So Naomi and I were sat in the back seat and we were reading stories, and she pulls out this big tiara crown Disney princess with flashing lights and bling and jewels and all this sort of thing on it, bright luminous pink. And we put it on each other's heads and telling the story and role-playing the Disney princess story and having lots of fun. Then my phone went, then I got distracted. Then we pulled up in Trostor Retail Park and Adam said, right, you run in and get a gift and I'll stay in the car with the kids. Okay, no problem, that would be much easier. Because in those days, it was all about survival of the fittest. And so we parked up in Trostor. It was Saturday afternoon, busy, busy day, lots of sun, lots of shoppers out. Walked across the car park, through the precinct, into the few different department stores to look for a suitable gift. So in I go up the escalator, saw a few people I knew, and then I could see started to see some people looking a bit strange at me, as if I'd grown another head, or I'd ketchup on my face, or maybe I'd forgotten to put an item of clothing on or something. And so I can remember thinking, why are people looking at me? That's really strange. So anyway, went into the shop, selected my purchases, paid for my purchases, made a bit of chit-chat with the cashier, who was looking a bit strange at me and trying not to laugh. Packed up my purchases, walked on the escalator through the department store, saw a few old people I knew. Hello, how are you? Walked through the car park and into the car to find my family, Adam and my children, absolutely hysterical, laughing their heads off, because what they had made me do or allowed me to do was walk through the shopping centre with this silly Disney princess, flashing lights, full of jewels, on my head, which I had not realised was on my head. And then I had to walk in and people were looking strange. And I couldn't even get away with the fact that I might have been a member of a hen party, because I was sober, I was on my own, I didn't have the rest of the regalia hen party members have, printed matching bright pink t-shirts and sashes, so I couldn't even pretend I was on my way to a hen party. And it had a picture of Belle on the front. So I had a choice to make. I could either see the funny side of it and forgive my lovely family for yet again making me the butt of their jokes, or I could tell them all off and be really cross and hold a grudge against them for the rest of the day and be in a mood. So I decided to tell them all off and hold a grudge against them, not see the funny side of it for about 20 minutes, and then I chose to forgive them. And still to this day, who says revenge isn't sweet? I'm still plotting my revenge on my husband for letting me do that and be so humiliated. But I think I need a team of people from this room who have been the butt of his jokes and tricks, so we might need to gang up, okay? So today, we are looking at forgiveness, okay? We've had a great series, haven't we? Who feels they've grown since January, spiritually, you know, mentally, emotionally? You've grown as a person, you've developed as a Christian because of some of the topics we've been looking at. So today we are looking at forgiveness, which is a hard one, to be honest. Some things are quite easy to forgive, but there are other things which are very difficult and we can battle and struggle with. So first of all, we're going to look at what forgiveness is, what forgiveness is not, what did Jesus say about forgiveness, and why forgiveness is so, so good for us. Are you with me? Okay, so let's go. I'm going to get this done in 25 minutes. Okay? Woo! Right. So, what is forgiveness? The word forgive means to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offence, a flaw, or a mistake. Unforgiveness is a grudge against someone who has offended, hurt, or upset you, and it is a person who is not disposed to forgive or show mercy. Now, the Old Testament was translated from Hebrew, and the New Testament, a lot of the New Testament, was translated into Greek and from Greek into our English language. And sometimes our English language doesn't have the depth of the original meanings of the Hebrew and the Greek. So I'm going to pull up three Greek words that can help us expound our understanding of the English word to forgive, okay? Now, oh, by the way, has anybody seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding? Such a good film, two lovely films, two of my favourites. And the old gent in there, who is a Greek man, who came as an immigrant to America, who came with nothing, set up a business and created a family, and it's the story of their journey, and it's a really, really funny, funny film. A lot of you could see like resemblances in your sort of family scenarios. And he is a really funny guy, because every time somebody says something to him, he says, that's a Greek word. The meaning of the root word of that is Greek, because he thinks himself he's actually a direct descendant of Alexander the Great, and it's really, really funny. So he says, give me a word, any word, any word, and I show you the root of that word is Greek. That's not Greek, I think that was Japanese. Anyway, okay, certainly not Welsh. So his grandson says, oh, Facebook, and he's like trying to simulate, right, how can I get this now? How can I get the Greek meaning of Facebook? And so half of it he makes up, and so it's really funny, a lovely film, good for a Sunday evening. Okay, anyway, three Greek words. The first one is aphiemi, which means, translated into English, to let go or send away, to desert or abandon. And this word is mentioned 146 times in the New Testament, primarily meaning to let go. And an example of this is found in Matthew 6, verse 12, where it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The second Greek word which translates into the English forgive is apoluo. Sorry if I'm not pronouncing them right. And this word appears 69 times in the New Testament and literally translates to set free. And an example of this is found in Luke 6:37. Judge not and you shan't be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. And the third Greek word is charizomai, which is appears 23 times in the New Testament and translates into English as to show oneself gracious. And an example of this is found in Colossians where it says, forgive one another as Christ forgave you. So forgiveness is not an occasional act, it is a constant attitude. That's what Martin Luther King said. What is forgiveness? Okay, so here are some statements as to what is forgiveness, what it kind of looks like in our lives. Because let's face it, each and every one of us will go through life with an issue that we need to forgive at some point or another. We are humans, we live in a fallen world, and there will be people who hurt us. It is the intentional or voluntary process by which a victim undergoes a change in feelings and attitude regarding an offence. It is the letting go, that Greek word aphiemi, of negative emotions. It is forgiveness involves being willing and able to respond to what's happening in the present moment by not reacting through the lens of the past with anger, resentment, which is the residue from the past. It is ultimately about freedom. Forgiveness brings the forgiver peace of mind and it frees them from corrosive anger, not letting the pain from past hurts define who they are. It is enabling them to heal and to move on with life. So forgiveness, in its essence, is a decision made on the inside to refuse to live in the past. It's a conscious choice to release others from the wrongs against us so that we can be free. It doesn't deny the pain or change the past, but it does break the cycle of forgiveness, a bitterness that binds us to the wounds of yesterday. Forgiveness allows you to let go and move on. Okay, C.S. Lewis once said, everyone says forgiveness is a great idea until you have someone to forgive, and then it becomes difficult. So we're going to look now at what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not granted because a person deserves to be forgiven. It doesn't mean that we put ourselves back into a harmful situation or that we accept or condone or approve of the person's wrong behaviour. It is not primarily letting someone off the hook. It is not pretending you were not hurt. And it is not necessarily allowing that person who hurt you back into your life. Trust and forgiveness are two very different things. So what does Jesus say about forgiveness? Well, in Matthew 18:23 on to 35, we find the parable of the story of the unforgiving servant. But before the story, Peter asks Jesus, how many times should I forgive a person who sins against me. Now, Peter himself was Jewish, and so he knew what the Jewish law taught. He knew what the rabbis taught. And in that culture, in and at that time, it was up to 3 times, okay? And so he thought he was being really generous now, saying to Jesus, okay, Jesus, so how many times should I forgive my brother who sins against me? 4, 5, 6, 7 times? 7 times? Surely that's enough, knowing what the Jewish law stated. And now he's thinking, well, Jesus is bound to say more than 3 times because he's Jesus. So I'll say 7. That's really generous. And Jesus says to Peter, and he turns to him and he says, but Jesus answers and says, I tell you, 70 times 7, which in my mathematical mind equates to 490. And of course, Jesus wasn't saying 490 times literally. He was basically saying, don't even bother keeping a record of wrongs because forgiveness is something you keep doing. Okay? You don't keep a record and you keep doing it. And so now that does not mean to say that we become pushovers or doormats. Absolutely not. But it does mean that for our sakes, that we do not keep a record of wrongs. Because God doesn't keep a record of wrongs against us. When we have made our decision to follow God and to say sorry for our wrongs, to live for God because of what Jesus did on the cross, to purchase our salvation so that we can have relationship with him, we can live in freedom and experience his joy and his peace right here on earth and the future of heaven. When we have said sorry for those things, God forgives us, doesn't he? Freely, 100%. And it says, you know, our things are like cast into the sea and he will remember no more. And yet that does not make it okay for then for us to then hold unforgiveness towards our fellow man. And that is kind of the gist of what Jesus is saying in this story. And then Jesus goes on to talk about the parable or the story of the unforgiving servant, where there is a generous king, which kind of represents God, and a servant who has racked up so much debt that he will never be able to pay it back, even if he worked for the rest of his life until he was 150, okay, for example. So let's say this guy owed the king the equivalent of like £10 million. And then he comes before the king, and the king has mercy upon him, and he forgives him, and he wipes his debt completely clear and goes and says, go and live, be blessed, don't worry, it's taken care of. I forgive you. You have no more debt. But then that servant goes out. Oh, thank goodness for that. Phew. And then he goes and finds another servant, one of his servants, because they had a lot of servants in those days. And so he gets his servant, takes him by the throat, shakes him, demanding what he owes him to be given back to him, and say the equivalent of what he owed the servant was maybe £10 or £1. And so we can see the absolute ginormous gap of that sort of figure. And yet that servant wasn't willing to forgive and clear the debt of that servant who just owed him a minuscule amount in comparison to what he had been forgiven and cleared of. And so this like king is like God who wipes away our debt, and the servant is like us who really needs to extend that same grace, that same love, and that same mercy to others. And that is the gist of the unforgiving servant. And so removing debt is the essence of forgiveness. Cancelling debt does not always necessarily mean that we still have to do business with that person, because these are kind of like financial terms that Jesus is giving the story in. But what it is saying is that we can have no ill will in our heart towards those people that we have forgiven. Because forgiveness is always our best interest, okay? Now, I don't know if any of you know a lady called Joyce Meyer. Anyone heard of Joyce Meyer? Yes, a wonderful woman, a really lovely person. She is an American lady, in probably in her late 60s now, has a global ministry, and she teaches people, packs auditoriums out with like thousands upon thousands who come to hear Joyce's stories. She's real, she's down to earth, she says things as they are, she brings God's truth, and she is amazing, written loads of books and everything like that. Now, for those of you who might know a little bit about Joyce, when we think of forgiveness as humans, I think sometimes we rate forgiveness. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, we say, right, number 1, That's easy to forgive. Somebody turns up late, somebody, you know, forgets something, they talk about me behind my back. Not nice, but I can forgive. And then things creep up to number 10, where things may be unforgivable. And we think, that surely is not forgivable. I will never forgive that person for that awful thing they did to me. And Joyce's story is basically, when she was a child, her father abused her when she was a child and a teenager. And she talks very openly about this and her journey of forgiveness. And for many years into her life, she carried anger, bitterness and resentful and had a real chip on her shoulder and struggled with relationships and struggled with many issues. But as she journeyed with God into the area of forgiveness, she talks about her experiences and she racked up the amount of times her father abused her. And she said it was over 200 times as a young child and as a teenager until she became of an age where she could like get away, move away and escape. And then she became a Christian and God really kind of ministered to her and she was able to find it in her heart through God's strength and God's mercy and through God's command, because it is forgive people. She was able to forgive and let go of all that hate and anger and bitterness and resentment that she had held in her heart. And just a couple of years ago, she said she felt God speak to her to say, you need to take care of your parents in their old age, because they live 300 miles away and she was quite happy to just visit like once a year. And so she said God spoke to her. And so she bought her parents a house, moved them into the town where she was living so she could look after them and look out for them. So she sent in decorators and sent in carers so they were really taken care of. And then her mother one day phoned Joyce. Now bear in mind, her father had never apologized to her for what he had done, even though she had learned to forgive him. And so her mother phones her up and says, Joyce, your father hasn't stopped crying for the last 3 weeks. Can you please get over here? He needs to speak to you. So Joyce turns up. She sits down with her father. And for the first time in his life, he apologizes to her for the wrong that he had done to her. And he knew and recognized that it was wrong and terrible and how sorry he was. And she said on that day and in those moments, that was the first time her and her father had sat down for like maybe 50 odd years, 60 years, where that forgiveness was given. And she said she led her father to the Lord in that moment. He became a Christian. He gave his life to Christ. He was forgiven of all the things that he'd done, not just against her, but, you know, as a human being anyway. And then 10 days later, she baptized him. And later on that year, he passed away. Now, that is an amazing story of forgiveness and reconciliation. It really sort of, it really challenged me, really, about this whole area of forgiveness. And sometimes there is reconciliation in relationships, and sometimes there's not. But at the end of the day, it's important that we forgive. Whether we see that person again, it's irrelevant. Whether that person has died, it's irrelevant. It's what goes on in here, because it is for our benefit. Anybody heard of this lady? This lady, Eva Moses Carr, was a Holocaust survivor, her and her twin sister. They were human experimented on and tortured at Auschwitz. She lost two of her sisters and both her parents to the Holocaust. And here she is now, and she's still alive, and she goes round and she kind of ministers to people really about the whole issue of forgiveness and how even though these atrocities happened to her and her sister and kind of came at a time in her life where she was very young, she learned and very early on that the importance of forgiveness was key so that she could then move on and live a full and happy life. And you can find her on YouTube, and she's a remarkable woman. And so we can rate or measure the things that are forgivable or unforgivable, but at the end of the day, Jesus says, forgive. So we are to forgive because it's not about the people who have wronged us, it's for our benefit. People who say, I will never forgive, they become so entrenched in bitterness and anger and resentment and hurt, and it affects them, not just physically and spiritually, but mentally and emotionally as well. People can't sleep, people have no peace, they have no joy, they go around angry, they don't know what's the matter with them, and often the root is because they are holding on and harboring such unforgiveness deep down in their hearts. One doctor said, 50% of my patients would be free to go home if they could just learn to forgive, as a lot of their ailments and sickness was due to the root of unforgiveness over a long period of time. because of the stress on the body, increased in blood pressure, stomach problems, insomnia, pain, depression, and anxiety issues can very often stem from long-term unforgiveness. And so the past is the past, and forgiving is key in our lives to enable us to live a happier life with real peace and real joy. In Ephesians, Paul talks about forgiveness, and it says this: get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. I'm just going to throw out a few benefits of forgiveness. It brings healthier relationships. It brings an improved state of mental health. It creates less stress and anxiety and hostility within us. It gives us a stronger immune system, improved heart health, and improved self-esteem. And these are just some of the actual scientific basic benefits of forgiveness. That's not encompassing the spiritual side of it, where we can experience true peace and true joy when we let things go, when we just let it go, when we just give it to God, when we just receive healing for wounds for people that have done to us over the years. And so forgiveness is key. It is a big one, and I know a lot of people struggle with it, but it is absolutely essential for the benefit of our lives to go on in our relationship with God and to be free of a lot of the baggage that unforgiveness can have over us. And it's a little bit like this, because I always like to think of things practically. I was in a house one day, and a lady had a knock at the door, and she was sweeping the floor because all the sort of leaves and twigs had come in from the garden. So she was sweeping up, and she had a nice little pile and a little mound of twigs and leaves on her kitchen floor. And all of a sudden, the doorbell went, and she couldn't find her brush and pan. This isn't me, by the way. She couldn't find her brush and pan, and so she just swept it under the rug in the kitchen, and so I'll deal with it later. Go and answer the door and get on with it. And a lot of these things, we kind of sweep in under the carpet of our lives, you know, offence. You know, when people mistreat us, when they let us down, when we feel hurt, we sweep things under the carpet, and eventually that mound appears under the carpet where we trip up over it. And it's a little bit like, I don't know if you were like this, you stuff your cupboards full of stuff, clothes, tins of beans, you stock up for, you know, whatever, and then you can't open the cupboard because it's jammed, because it's so full of stuff, we just keep putting stuff in there. And it's a little bit like that with unforgiveness. We keep putting that stuff in our hearts, in our minds, until we can't shut the cupboard. And then we do open the cupboard, it all comes out and falls all over us. Or we trip up over that mound. And so God encourages us to deal with these things of unforgiveness in our hearts, so they don't become like that cupboard full of stuff that we've got to sort out that comes over us in an overwhelming way. Or we don't trip up over that mound of stuff we've just shoved under the carpet for the last 60 years or 10 years or 6 weeks or whatever it is. And so these things are really important for us because it is right and healthy and helpful. And so I'm going to pray in a moment, and there we go, 5 past 12. See, can do it. Can be done, Julian. Okay, no offence. Okay, so why don't we just close our eyes, and I'm going to pray. And I know this is a difficult one, and I know we rate things and think, I can never forgive that person. But you know what? It's for your benefit that you do. So I'm going to pray. Let's just close our eyes, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer of forgiveness for a person or persons that have done anything to us that was wrong. And if you are happy and in a place to, in your own heart, pray this prayer with me before God. Jesus, I bring this person before you, or persons who have hurt me, wronged me, abandoned me, lied to me, and I choose today to forgive them and release them in Jesus' name. And I receive your love and your healing oil onto those wounds which those persons or person has caused me. And Holy Spirit, I'm going to work with you to let it go, that I will not become a victim of something somebody else has done that wasn't my fault, so that I can experience your love, your joy, and your peace in all its fullness from today on. In Jesus' name, amen.